You're about to listen to a sermon preached at Bethel Lutheran Church in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Bethel is committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and leading people to believe, belong, and build faith at home. It's our hope that God will encourage you through the preaching of His Word.
If you are visiting us here this morning, you should know where we have been and where we're going. We have been diving into a book in the New Testament called James. James is the half-brother of Jesus, and he's a guy that kind of, as we'll see even this morning, calls us to action. The theme that we've been using in this series is where there's fire, there's smoke. No, I didn't get that phrase wrong. We're inverting that for this series because the idea is to think of fire as the faith inside. Somebody may say, I have faith, right? I've got faith in Jesus. And we should expect that if somebody has faith, if they claim to have a fire in their heart for the Lord, that there should be smoke coming from the chimney of their life. So that's the connection. The theme verse is James chapter 2 verse 17. And I wonder if we couldn't say this verse out loud together. James 2 verse 17. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So this is what James is preaching in his book. In some cases, it seems as though he assumes the gospel. It seems at times that he assumes that you understand that Jesus has done it all for you. There is nothing left for you to do. But then he calls us to a life that demonstrates that we get that. And that out of love and gratitude for God, we want to walk his way. And that there's some proof of how, there's some evidence for the faith that I claim to have in my life. And this is where James leads us. So I want to call us to our text for today. It's in James 1. We finally finished James chapter 1 here this morning. We're going to get to the end of chapter 1. If you would turn in your Bibles to that place, I'd love for you to see it and read it. Follow along as I read it for us today. James chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 19. I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word here this morning. James 1, verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is God's word. Lord, we ask that you would now take this word, even as James says, planted in us that would save us. Would you plant this word again in our hearts and bring fruit from it? Cause smoke to come from the chimney of our lives because we've heard you. We've heard you. And we are not merely hearers of the word. By your spirit, we have been made doers of that word. Teach us today. Help us to grow in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So I want to get at this main theme in James today. Let me start down the path this way. If you go to the store and you were to purchase a product, no doubt on most any product, if you look close enough, there are warning labels on the product that warn you of potential misuse of a product and what would happen if you don't use it right. Have you seen that before? You get warning labels on products. It's kind of standard. In this world of litigation, they're like, we want to put stuff on the box that says don't do this with it. And then they can say, we told you not to do that. And there are some that make sense, and there are some that are really ridiculous, okay? Here's some examples of things that are sort of ridiculous on boxes of things you buy. On the side of a baby stroller box, okay, a baby stroller box, is this warning. Remove child before folding. You would think you wouldn't have to tell somebody that, but make sure you take the baby out before you fold it. Oh, right. Yes, I will keep that in mind. On a sunshield. Now, some of you who go south sometimes for the winter, we don't have this around here, but you ever see like a sunshield placed inside the windshield of a car so it doesn't fry the dash? Okay, on the package of a sunshield for the car, it says, don't drive with sunshield in place. I'd like to see somebody try. Or this one, on a toilet bowl cleaning brush. Toilet bowl cleaning brush, not for oral use. Really? Somebody like, I'm just going to get one brush and I'm going to use it for everything. It's going to be the multi-purpose brush. Toilet bowl, teeth, the whole thing. Oh, man. On the package of a rain gauge, there is this comment, suitable for outdoor use. Oh, good. Good. 500-piece puzzle on the box. It says, some assembly required. Oh, well, okay. I love this. From the manual of a chainsaw. Do not attempt to stop blade with your hand. Okay. Why? Somebody tried that, I guess. I'm like, we better put that on the box so that nobody else does that. Finally, you're going to have to think about this one. On a package of juggling balls, you can buy a package of juggling balls. There's this warning. Think about this. This product contains granules under 3 millimeters. Not suitable for children under the age of 14 years in Europe or 8 years in the United States. I guess the American kids are a little more advanced than the kids across the pond, you know? I don't understand. Like the Europeans, the gag reflex doesn't quite work as well. How does that even make sense? Why do they do this sort of thing? What is the purpose of putting these warning labels on a package? Probably because some bozo out there tried to stop the chainsaw with his hand, thought it might be a good idea to use the toilet bowl brush for cleaning his teeth, or leave the baby in there while folding the stroller. You know, so somebody out there maybe tried that. I don't know what conversations go on in the room when they're like, what should we put on the box for this one? Oh yeah, I could see somebody totally doing this. All right, we better put that on the box. Put that on there. What it's trying to do is to help you not misuse the product. So let me ask you this. If you were to buy a Bible and you were to look inside on the package with a warning label, what warning label would we put on a Bible? How could you possibly misuse in a way that's harmful to you God's word? James, in this passage that I read today, tells us what the warning label is. Here are the 2 points I kind of want us to see today. God's word helps us to apply God's word and do what it says. Apply what God's word says to do. That's explicit in the text. And implicit in the text is apply what God's word says is done. Apply what God's word says to do. Apply what God's word says is done. So right from the get-go in this passage, in verse 22, James warns us with these words. Here's the warning label. This is it. If the Bible had a warning label, this is verse 22, is it. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Kind of like, warning. It's Bible abuse to read the Bible and then live your life as if you didn't read it. It's Bible abuse to come under the hearing of the word of God, to have your eyes open to what God wants to communicate to you and me, and to then pretend as if we didn't hear that. It's Bible abuse, only the Bible's not being abused and getting hurt. You're getting hurt. Like it's dangerous not to the Bible, but to you and to me when we do that, when we pretend and live as if we didn't hear what it said to us. Here's a way to think about this. This is really consistent with this idea of a warning label. If you were to buy a sword, a really, really sharp sword, there'd probably be a warning label on that one. All kinds of things you shouldn't do with that. So somebody didn't tell the person, don't try and stick it down your throat. Why do people do that? Where did that even come from? I wonder if I could do that. Somebody does that, right? But the Bible actually calls itself a sword, right? In Ephesians chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible is referenced as a sword. The sword of the Spirit, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's kind of like warning. If you misuse God's word, it's dangerous to you. But not only is it dangerous to you, it's foolish. We just show our foolishness by it. And there's a couple examples of this. One is in the text. The mirror kind of illustration James uses. He uses his own illustration. He says in verse 23 and 24, something that we can't quite imagine, right? Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And we read that and we're like, really? Like, could you do that? I suppose, but James is pointing out the ridiculous nature of that. You look in the mirror, you see like your hair isn't right, your tie is crooked, you got spaghetti stains on your collar, you got junk in your teeth, and then you turn around, you go this way, and you're like, you totally forget. In other words, you didn't deal with what was wrong. You didn't deal with what was shown to you. You're not dealing with the truth that's shown to you in God's word. And he's like, why bother even looking? Why bother even? Like, it's just sort of dumb. It's just foolishness to do that. James highlights that. Another way to think about it is foolish. Jesus gives us an example of this. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. Verse 48, he says, he's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. It's foolish, but it's not just foolish. It's dangerous. There is destruction in the wake of hearing the word of God and then pretending and living your life as if you didn't hear it. You've fallen prey to what Jesus says time and time again. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but do it. Live it out. Where's the smoke, church, coming out the chimney of your life? Call ourselves to that. I want to tell a story. I want to tell a story, real life story. It's about a preacher. And he had a congregation that loved to hear good sermons. And they loved it when he would just preach God's word. Man, oh man, were they complimentary. Thanks, Pastor. What a great message. Man, we needed to hear that. Oh, they'd write him notes. Thank him. Oh, it's great stuff. Thank you so much. And the pastor thought everything was great. His people were really complimentary of the message. They really seemed to enjoy hearing God's word preached to them. They would invite people to come and say, you got to hear my pastor. He's really something. Come and hear his messages. They're so good. And the preacher had no idea what was going on. So God came to the preacher and told the preacher what was really happening in the lives of the people in his church. He came to this preacher whose name was Ezekiel. And he said these words to Ezekiel in chapter 33. As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. In other words, you guys got to come. Everybody in your church is telling people to come to church. Everybody's saying, this is a great message. We really love hearing it. That's what you see, Ezekiel, but you need to know more. Verse 31, my people come to you as they usually do, and they sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths they express devotion, but in their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs and plays with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. Can you imagine how this would be like a kick in the stomach to a preacher like Ezekiel? He works hard. He's discerning what God has to say for his people. And he proclaims the word of God to his people. And God comes to him and says, you know what you are? You're just a guy who gets up front, sings love songs, plays an instrument really good, and people are tapping their feet and humming along and shaking their heads and going, wow, this is really good. But they're fooling you, Pastor. Because they have no intention of living this out. When I read that again, I'm like, man, every preacher's got to read that one and go, is that me? Am I just singing love songs up here? And every church has got to say, is that us? Is that what I'm doing? Maybe some other people, but are we just tapping our feet and humming along and woohoo, let's go? What's going on? James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. And then he gets really practical. He says, be quick to listen. Think before you speak. And when you speak, be careful what you say. And look out for the widow and for the orphan. And watch your temper and accept the word of God humbly. And place, in other words, humbly, place yourself under the word. Let it have authority over you. Humble yourselves before that word that can save you. The word of God is a sword. Warning. Warning, be careful how you handle this word. Apply what God's word says to do, but not only that, apply what God's word said as it says is done. Yeah, I have this absolute conviction in my heart that it would be Bible abuse on my part to get up here and say that the real message for us today is to get out there and start doing it. It would not be hearing the message today if you left here thinking, I was just told I need to start just doing all the stuff it says in the Bible, and that's the full total message that we've come to hear today. That you've only heard part of it. We need to not only apply what God's word says to do, but we need to apply what God's word says is done. And I want to admonish you with equal passion to apply what God's word says is done. Listen, if you have come here and just hearing part of it, I want to say warning label, warning, warning, warning. And look at the cross. In fact, why don't you do that right now? Look at the front of the room. Look at the cross. Jesus' death, Jesus' shed blood on the cross was his paying for every time you heard the word of God and did nothing about it. That's why he went there. Jesus died. Jesus shed his blood because you have not applied the word of God as you should. And his blood applied to your life is enough for the forgiveness of your sins. See, it's not just a pep fest and kind of a rally to get out there and be a better Christian. God calls us to go and to live our life as better Christians in the world. Absolutely. But it's just as soon as you leave here, you're going to fail. And then what are you going to do? But you need to apply what the scripture says has already been done for you. You need to apply the blood of Christ to your life. That's the app. That's the application that you and I need in our lives. 7-8 years ago, Steve Jobs died. Remember who Steve Jobs was? He was the co-founder and CEO of Apple. Apple was really innovative in creating all these apps. They're on your phone, the iPad. They create all these apps. And you remember when apps were getting really popular and they were leading the charge in that area. It just seemed like there was an app or an application to do just about anything, right? And people would make statements like, oh, there's got to be an app for that. There ought to be an app for that. There should be an app for that. There must be an app for that. When Steve Jobs died 7-8 years ago, one of the newspapers had this as the headline. Steve Jobs is dead. There's no app for that. Steve Jobs is dead. There's no app for that. But is that true? Doesn't the Bible say that there is an app, there's an application for death? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? That there is an app for that? And that the only application that will help you and me and Steve Jobs or anybody else is the application of the blood of Christ applied to our life? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Isn't that what we're saying here today? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you and me is the app that you need, that I need, that we need for death. That's what we need more than anything. This is the way it was. Think of the Hebrew people, just as an illustration of this. Think of the Hebrew people. Do you remember God said that he was going to come and he was going to bring judgment, he was going to bring death. And he said to the people, here's what you need to do. You need to sacrifice a lamb. A lamb? Yeah. And you take that blood and you need to put it on the doorpost and the threshold of the house. We're going to kill a lamb? Well, what did the lamb ever do? The lamb didn't do anything. It's innocent. That's the point. You need to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorposts of your house, and you need to humble yourself to get under that blood. And as you do, you will be saved. And don't you think some of the people thought, well, that sounds like the craziest thing in the world. Why would we ever do that? Because God said to do it. So God's saying, this is my word for you. Humbly accept the word that is able to save you. The Bible says that Jesus, God said to the people that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Today, the same is true of us. When God comes for you and when he looks down on your life, you know what he's looking for? He's not looking for your application, your perfect application of you doing everything he tells you to do. He's looking for the application of his son's blood over your life and over your sins. And he says, when I see the blood of my son over you, I will pass over. I will give you life. I will spare you. Isn't that the way it works? So isn't it true, church? Death? There's an app for that. There's an app for that. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, God calls us through his servant James to apply what God's word says to do and apply what God's word says is done. And just in case, all I am is a guy standing up here and singing love songs so you can hum and tap along. Then here's a song to hum and tap along to. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, would you humble us under this word we've heard today that can save us? Would you help us to find this morning shelter under the shed blood of Jesus applied to our lives? Thank you for that application. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would cause us from a great confidence in the sufficiency of what you did at Calvary for us, that all our sins are forgiven and that our relationship is made perfect and whole with God through Jesus Christ. Fill us with courage and conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit to live our lives for you in this world. Lord, cause the smoke to come from the chimney of our lives. Help us to be people not just with professions of faith, but the demonstration of it in the action and the way that we live. The world needs that. Our neighbors need it. The world needs for us to live lives consistent with your word. It's a beautiful thing and it draws people to you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, inspire in us a desire to walk with you this day and to believe the gospel for ourselves. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Dave Foss, and you just heard a sermon preached at Bethel Lutheran Church. It's our hope that God encouraged you through the preaching of his word today. And if he has, if that's the case with you, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love the chance to minister to you further or simply to cheer on God's work in your life in any way we can. Through our website at bethellutheran.church, you can contact us, and we'd love to hear from you. So until then, may God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.